Acts 7:30 says, "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush." And we see how, and in the guidance through the wilderness, like in Exodus 13:21, we read, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night." The glory of the Lord appeared to people in numerous passages. God's presence is in a cloud in Exodus 16:10, Exodus 33:9-10, and Ezekiel 10:4. God was also manifested in nature and history, like in Isaiah 6:3, Ezekiel 1:28, and also Ezekiel 43:2. And the fifth type of theophany is the name of the Lord. God's sacred name represents his presence, like in Psalm 102:15. "So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory." Isaiah 30:27, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, his tongue as a devouring fire." In Isaiah 59:19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." The incarnation, when Christ took on human flesh and walked this earth for 30 to 33 years, was not a theophany. The theophanies were temporary for the occasion that required them and then disappeared. On the other hand, when Christ came and took on flesh, his deity and humanity were joined, not for time alone, but for eternity. Hallelujah. He ever liveth, seated at the right hand of the Father, to make intercession for the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. What a Savior. What a great King. Hallelujah. What a Redeemer. What a friend. What a big brother. Hallelujah. Only in the Old Testament did God's people need a theophany. Since the incarnation, there's no such necessity. The New Testament doctrine of God is the final and complete revelation. God is always present in the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit. And still, at times, God's people are more aware of that presence than at others. That's what's so special about Sabbath. Hallelujah. My best recollection is that you should be able to find about 45 theophanies as you carefully read through the Old Testament. And to me, it's a joy to find them, and I'll not steal that joy of finding them by the Spirit of truth and holiness, which is the only teacher that you or me or anyone can trust. I'll give you one more, though, to show the key to how you can recognize Jesus in the theophanies. It's in Joshua 5:13-15. "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." That's Jesus. How do we know? Because no good angel, not even Michael the archangel, whose name means who is like God, would ever receive worship. That is Jesus, who is God, and who deserves and will never refuse worship, because he is not an angel. He is God. That is how you know. No faithful angel will ever receive worship. Know and understand this. Lucifer's demon angels will do any trick or deception to try to get you to worship them, or try to indwell you, or possess you, or control you. No faithful good angel, including Michael, will ever accept worship. And that's how you know that it's Jesus and not an angel. Remember this. No faithful angel would ever receive worship. Lucifer and his demon fallen angels will try any trick and deception and delusion to get men to worship them. Jesus should rightfully never refuse worship. He alone is worthy of our worship with his Father and our Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is not to be worshipped. Do you hear me? The Holy Spirit gives all glory to Jesus, and Jesus gives all glory to the Father. I do know it grieves the Holy Spirit when people try to worship him. Indeed, that's a big way of discerning the counterfeit Holy Spirit found in many apostate churches today. The Father is on his throne, and Jesus is seated at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is in me, and I do hope and trust he's in you too. Angels are created beings, and therefore, it is gross error to identify Yeshua Messiah as Michael the Archangel. Jesus Christ, who created all things, including Michael, is not called Michael in heaven or on earth. The names of God are very important. Yeshua, Jesus, is Almighty God, the Creator, as well as Redeemer. Yeshua is not to be called Michael in any vain imagination. No real Christian allows Yeshua, Jesus, to be called Michael in heaven or in earth. And that's confusion. It's gross error, to say the least. There is no other name of the Redeemer that is acceptable to Christians. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in Acts 2:21, and there shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Exodus 34:14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. At the name of Yeshua Jesus, every knee shall bow. No knee will bow at the name of Michael. Michael would be horrified, like Lucifer would be delighted if men would worship him. No faithful angel will accept worship. Lucifer and his other demon fallen angels want worship. No faithful angel will ever accept worship. Yeshua, Jesus, is worthy of and always accepts worship, and the Father is glorified with the worship of his Son. To identify Michael as Jesus is a lie of the devil. Michael is not Jesus. Jesus created Michael. The lie that Jesus is called Michael is embraced by heretic pseudo-Christian cults, such as the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower. However, though the Watchtower embraces this doctrine of devils, it's usually not easy to get them to admit this. If someone believes in a Jesus who is Michael the Archangel, he might just as well believe in Harvey, the six-foot invisible rabbit, for his salvation. Only God is eternal. But when God created angels, the Bible never tells us. It never reveals that. If the us in Genesis 1:26 is a reference to God's angelic court, then the angels are simply present at the creation, and their origin is not explained. Angel is a heavenly messenger who either delivers a message to humans, or carries out God's will, or protects God's people, or praises God, or guards God's throne. John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." If no one has ever seen the Father, then it must have been Jesus who appeared before the Old Testament saints. Often he appeared as the angel of the Lord, a theophany, one of those pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. The angel of the Lord appeared before Hagar in Genesis 16, verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Hagar identified the angel as El Roy, God who sees. The Bible identifies himself as the Lord, that is Yahweh. And in Genesis 16:13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou, God, seest me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" The angel of the Lord appeared before Jacob, Genesis 31:11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, "Jacob." And I said, "Here I am." The angel of the Lord identifies himself as God in Genesis 31:13. "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest to vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." At Bethel, the angel identified himself as the God of Abraham and Isaac. In Genesis 28:13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." When Jacob returned to Bethel, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Genesis 32:24-28, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men. And in John 1:12 we see it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Understand, Israel is the name of the family of God. Israel are those who, by the price of redemption, of the blood of the Lamb of God, and the spirit of adoption, have the privilege and power to call the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ our Father. And Yeshua, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren who do the will of the Father in heaven. Hosea 12, verse 3 and 4. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept. He made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Hosea identified this angel of the Lord as Yahweh. Hosea 12, 5. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, is his memorial. Jacob identified the angel of the Lord as God. Genesis 32, 29 through 30. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. The angel of the Lord appeared before Moses in the burning bush. Exodus 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. The angel identified himself as I am in Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Jesus identified himself as I am. There are seven instances in John's gospel alone where the Lord Jesus Christ uses the profound proclamation of who he is, the I am, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. The Jews knew exactly what Jesus was telling them, that he is Yahweh, I am the Lord of hosts, Almighty God, Creator as well as Redeemer, because he invariably saw them take up stones to attempt to stone him for blasphemy. And we miss most of them in our English Bible because the translator so often felt that it was necessary to add the word he. And it's not in the original Greek Textus Receptus. I've checked. It's not there. In one instance, the words are translated, it is I. But in every case, the Greek, and I've looked at this in the Textus Receptus, is simply ego eimi. That's ego eimi. I am. The seven great I ams are found in places where Jesus publicly proclaimed that he is I am. The added words, which should be in italics in your King James Holy Bible, are removed here, as I'm going to read these things to you, as it appears in the original Greek text, the Textus Receptus. And it makes the point a lot more vividly. Okay? John 4, verses 25 and 26, the woman saith unto him, I know that when Messiah comes, which is called Christ, when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I am that speak unto thee. Using the words I am, Jesus publicly proclaims that he is the Messiah, or the Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, so when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid, but he saith unto them, I am, be not afraid. After demonstrating that he had the power to walk upon the water, Jesus proclaims that he is I am. And in John 8:24, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Jesus declares that if you reject the truth that he is I am, you shall die in your sins. And that's a polite way of saying you'll be damned to the second death of an eternal hell if you don't believe who he really is. In John 8:28, then Jesus said unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. There have been many false messiahs who would never think of dying for someone else. Jesus proclaims that he has been lifted up on the cross. Then we will know that he is I am. This is because Isaiah prophesied that Messiah would die for the sins of his people. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As Abraham prophesied to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. Genesis 22:8. The method of his death is also significant, for Zechariah told us that Messiah would be pierced. Zechariah 12:10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in John 8:57-59, then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and how hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here Jesus clearly proclaims that Abraham knew him. He then says that he is I am, and the Jews understood what he said, that he is I am. They thought he was committing blasphemy, and they tried to stone him. John 13, verse 19, Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am. The resurrection from the dead is the greatest proof that Jesus is the I am. And that many false messiahs have come and gone. They died, and their bodies remain in the grave. But Jesus is different, for he rose from the dead. He is seated in his glorified, resurrected body at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Any Messiah who does not bear the marks of his crucifixion in his resurrected, glorified body is a false Messiah and Antichrist. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-8. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. In John 18:4-8, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward, and they fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I've told you that I am. And therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. When Jesus made his proclamation that he was I am, his enemies fell to the ground. Moses proclaimed that one angel had the power to forgive sins. This angel possessed the name of God. In Exodus 23:20-21, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Moses did talk to Yahweh face to face. Since no one has ever seen the Father, according to John 1:18, we have to conclude that he was talking to the Son. Exodus 33:11, And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. The angel of the Lord appeared before Manoah and his wife. In Judges 13:3, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. The angel said his name was Pili, here translated as secret. And in Judges 13:18, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? The same Hebrew word is translated as wonderful in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Manoah identified the angel of the Lord as God in Judges 13:22. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. Abraham also saw God. Remember, no one has seen the Father, according to John 1:18. He was identified as the Word of God. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram addressed the Word of God as Lord Yahweh. In Genesis 15:2, Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? The book of Psalms identifies the Word of God as the Creator. Psalm 33:6, the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. In the New Testament, the Creator is also identified as the Word of God. John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in John verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus claimed to be the God of Abraham in John 8, 52 through 58. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones again. The prophet Isaiah saw the Lord. And remember, no one has seen God the Father. John 1:18. In Isaiah chapter 6, first 5 verses, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, Oh, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The New Testament declares that Isaiah saw Jesus in his glory. John chapter 12, verse 37 through 41. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Isaiah 6:10, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Although Jesus appeared as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, he's not an angel. Angels are created beings. The Son of God is eternal. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 6 and 8. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Look at verse 14, or 13 rather, in Hebrews chapter 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that shall be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus is not Michael the archangel, for Michael the archangel and Jesus appear together in Daniel chapter 10. Look at verse 21 in Daniel 10. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of a truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. It is Yeshua who is speaking with Daniel. Compare this to Revelation chapter 1 with this person talking to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is talking with Daniel in chapter 10, and Michael is with him. There are 10 things that the Word of God tells us about angels. First, angels are created beings, created by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. John 1, 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1, 16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Hebrews 1, 4, being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 5 through 8, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He didn't say that to any angel. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels, all of them, including Michael, all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. And in verse 10 and 13, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? He didn't say that to any angel. He said it only to the Son. The Son is not an angel. The Son is God. And in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hallelujah. The second thing God tells us, the Word of God tells us about angels, is that angels worship God and Yeshua Messiah. Faithful angels will worship Jesus. Verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 1, again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Does that include Michael? I think so. Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. The third thing, angels minister to Yeshua and his brethren. Hallelujah, that's us. Hallelujah, we're his brethren. Hallelujah, angels, the faithful ones, minister to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 4, verse 11, the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The fourth thing, only three angels have revealed names. First is Lucifer, who is Satan, the devil, who led the worshiping angels who rebelled against God. And all those angels have become what we know as demons. Gabriel has a name. He's the leader of all the messenger servant angels. And Michael is the leader of all the warring angels. In Luke chapter 1, verse 19, and the angels answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show you these glad tidings. And in verse 26 of Luke 1, and in the sixth month the angel of Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now I want you to look carefully at Daniel chapter 10. This is so important. But I will show thee, in verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael your prince. This verse in Daniel 10:21 is extremely important because it clearly shows that Jesus is not Michael the archangel. For the angel, Michael the archangel, and Jesus appear together in this verse. Jesus is the one speaking to Daniel. Jesus is the me that is speaking to Daniel. And Michael is the prince of Israel, the one that is holding with me, the one that is holding with Jesus in Daniel chapter 10. Same in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. There can be no doubt that the one referred to as the me who speaks to Daniel in chapter 10 is Jesus. Listen to what Matthew Henry says. I like Matthew Henry. I don't listen to commentators much, but I kind of like Matthew Henry. He went on to glory before they ever started to come up with this pre-trib la-la land baloney. And Matthew Henry says, this chapter relates, and he's speaking of Daniel chapter 10. He says, this chapter relates the beginning of Daniel's last vision, which is continued to the end of the book. And the time would be long before all would be accomplished, and much of it's not yet fulfilled. Christ appeared to Daniel. You hear that? Christ appeared to Daniel in a glorious form, and it should engage us to think highly and honorably of him. Let us admire his condescension for us and our salvation. There remained no strength in Daniel. The greatest and best of men cannot bear the full discoveries of the divine glory, for no man can see it and live. But glorified saints see Christ as he is, hallelujah, and can bear the sights, how dreadful soever Christ may appear to those under conviction of sin. There is enough in his word to quiet their spirits. And Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Look at Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And look at Jude. Verse 9, Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The fifth thing we can find in the Bible about angels are that they are under the authority of Yeshua Jesus. Matthew 31:14, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And chapter 16, verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And Mark 13, verse 27, then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. The sixth thing about angels that we know is that the angels do see God face to face. Matthew 18, verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Another thing we know about angels, they do not marry or reproduce. You can find that in Matthew 22:30, Mark 13:25. Another thing we know about angels is that they are with Yeshua, and they are holy. Otherwise, they're a demon. They're an angel of Lucifer. But the faithful angels are holy, and they help man. The angels that follow Lucifer are demons, they're unholy, and hell is their destiny. Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Another thing we should learn from the Holy Bible about angels is that there is a major difference between an angel of the Lord and the angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord could be any angel like Michael or Gabriel, but the angel of the Lord generally you will find as Jesus Christ in one of the theophanies. Another thing we know is that angels today, there's only two kinds of them. There's holy angels, which follow Yeshua in obedience to God the Father, and there are unholy demon angels who are followers of Lucifer in rebellion against Yeshua and against God the Father. Michael, it is a personal name, meaning who is like God. Michael is the archangel who served as the guardian of the nation of Israel. That's all we learn from Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 and 21, and chapter 12, verse 1. It was Jesus who was talking with Daniel when Michael was there. He was the me who was talking about Michael who was with him. It was Jesus talking to Daniel in chapter 10. If you don't believe me, check it out with Matthew Henry. He's a credible commentator. Michael fought for Israel against the prince, the angelic demon principality of Persia. And this angelic figure of Michael, he's in much of the extra-biblical, the non-biblical literature. And when the father finally says, okay, son, take charge, then Yeshua will stand and tell Michael to kick him out. And that is when Lucifer and his demon angelic followers, who have still been trying to get the faithful angels to join them in their rebellion, are going to be kicked out. Now, this may have already happened. Maybe this is why we see such a quantum increase in evil going on. But at some point, we're going to have to deal with these demons, and we better know as much as we can about them and the authority that we have over them in the blood of Yeshua and in the name of Yeshua. Lucifer and his demons were finished at Calvary. They are cast out of heaven down to the earth after that war in heaven. And there's good reason to believe that that war may have been recently concluded. But it's somewhere in the Great Tribulation. And we're going to see it, and we're going to know it one day for sure soon. And they're going to come with great wrath. But the real Holy Ghost-filled remnant, brethren of Yeshua, did you catch that? The real Holy Ghost-filled remnant, not an angelic spirit-filled remnant. Those are demons that have got angelic spirits in them. No angelic spirit, if he's a holy angel, would ever go into a human. Only demons are angelic spirits that go into people. But Holy Ghost-filled, Spirit of God-filled, redeemed brethren. Not spirit of angel-filled, Spirit of God-filled, redeemed brethren of Yeshua. Hallelujah. That's who we are. We're going to stand in God's power, not some angelic power. God's power is bigger than any angelic power. We don't want an angelic spirit in us. We want the Spirit of God in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Michael commands the forces of God against the forces of the dragon in a war in heaven. And Jude 9 also refers to a dispute between the devil and Michael over Moses' body. The Bible term angel is derived from a Greek word angelos, which means messenger. Angelos, in the Hebrew equivalent, is malak, which also means messenger. And those are the two most common terms that are used to describe this class of beings. They are spirit beings. There's good ones and there's bad ones. And we've got a war with the bad ones, and the good ones will help us in this war. In general, in texts where an angel appears, his task is normally to convey a message or do the will of God who sent him. And since the focus of the text is on the message, often that messenger is rarely described in any kind of detail. Another set of terms that are used to describe angels focuses not on angels as mediators between God and persons, but on God's heavenly followers. Terms such as sons of God, holy ones, heavenly host, seem to focus on angels as celestial beings. And they worship God. They attend God's throne. They comprise God's army. And these terms emphasize the majesty and power or acts of God. The third category of heavenly beings is that of winged angels, like cherubim and seraphim. And they make their most memorable appearances in the visions of Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 10, and Isaiah chapter 6. Cherubim function primarily as guards or attendants to the divine throne. Seraphim appear only in Isaiah's vision, and there they attend God's throne and voice praises. All three categories present us with heavenly beings that are in the service of God. The text may focus on the service done or on the God served, but rarely are those servant angels themselves the focus. And as a result, we're left with a multitude of questions about the angelic host. But many of the most common questions asked about angels, unfortunately, don't have real clear answers in Scripture. The nature of the angelic host is at best just kind of hinted at indirectly. But there is an angelic hierarchy, and that is suggested by the heavenly host being an army. It must have an order that it references archangels, like in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Jude 9, and that there is a special class of angels which has intimate fellowship with God, such as the seraphim, like in Isaiah 6, and that indicates that there are organization structures within the angelic host, and they're rigidly fixed in some sort of a orderly ranking system. Scripture presents ministry as one of the most blessed of activities, and God himself is directly involved with humanity. Any hierarchy which serves to separate God from humanity by interposing a series of lesser beings should always be suspect. Angelic appearances or the appearances of angels varies. Only cherubim and seraphim are represented with wings, and often in the Old Testament, angels appear as ordinary men. And sometimes, however, their uniqueness is evident as they do things or appear in a fashion that is clearly non-human, like in Genesis 16, verses 7 through 11, Exodus 3, verse 2, Numbers 23, verse or 22, verse 23, and Judges chapter 6, verse 20, and also Judges chapter 13, verse 20, and John 20, verse 12. The brilliant white appearance common in the New Testament angel is not a feature of most of the Old Testament appearances. Guardian angels are referred to in Jesus' comment in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, and some passages which assign protective roles to angels. For example, Michael is an angelic prince who is the protector of Israel. That's the meaning of Daniel chapter 12, 1. Angels also are given to specific churches, like in Acts 12, 15, and Revelation 1, 20, and Revelation 2 and 3. And that implies a heavenly counterpart is assigned to each person in heaven. This evidence is commonly used to make the assertion that each individual has a guardian angel assigned to him or her by God. The term guardian angel, however, is not biblical, and the idea is at best only implied in the passage. The difficulty observable in answering these and many other common questions is obvious. The scripture simply doesn't give the detail. The cause of the difficulty is the assumption that the scripture reveals a complete angelology. And if all the passages concerning the angels are pieced together, the complete picture will be revealed. But that's not really the case. A careful survey of the Bible texts that relate to them reveals that no such fully delineated angelology is present. Each of the various types of literature in the Old Testament has its own concerns, and angels appear in the text in ways appropriate to each occurrence. And those books which narrate the great acts of God, like Exodus and Genesis and Numbers and Judges and 1st, 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings, contain numerous references to angels. And in these books, especially at key points, God reveals himself and acts on behalf of his people. And sometimes he does this directly and sometimes with the person of an angel. But the New Testament contains no developed